بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا, سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا, سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا, إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا. اللهم نور قلوبنا بعلمك واستعمل أبداننا لطاعتك ووفقنا لما تحب وترضى من القول والعمل والفعل والنية والهدى, إنك على كل شيء قدير. يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح, يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح, يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح. ما بعد, باب الغنى عن النفس. وقول الله تعالى: أيحسبون أن ما نمدهم به من مال وبنين, إلى قوله: من دون ذلك هم لها عاملون. قال ابن عيينة: لم يعملوها لا بد من أن يعملوها. The true richness is self-contentment. In this section and the chapter of Bab al-Ghina, Ghina al-Nafs, true riches is self-contentment. Imam Bukhari is directing our thoughts to an important point that generally people think that, naturally the whole world rather thinks that the abundance of wealth and the abundance of material things, outwardly material things, is what is going to be a means of happiness and contentment in a person's life. And whoever has that will be able to achieve that. In this hadith we understand, or this chapter, that the actual wealth and richness and happiness that's going to come to a person's life will be when a person is content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for him. And a person who has immense amounts of material things but is desirous for simply more and is suffering from shuh, which is a greed for more, desire, a never-ending desire for more, then this person is definitely not wealthy but rather poor. So Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, Hakim ul-Ummah, he said a very beautiful statement. He says, Saman-e-rahat aur cheez hai, rahat aur cheez hai. Saman-e-rahat aur cheez hai, aur rahat aur cheez hai. Which means the things that give comfort is something, and actual comfort is something else. So you have a beautiful, most expensive, top of the line bed. You have very expensive beds nowadays, mattresses. A person has that. What is that? Bed is supposed to give you comfort. It's amazing. $5,000, $7,000, $8,000, $10,000 beds you have. Similarly, a person has a sofa, a hammock, you know, whatnot. These are all things that give you comfort. But whether you're going to get comfort or not is a different story. Allah has blessed me in my travels to go to many different places and many different homes. And I have seen some, my own share of really beautiful places that people stay in. But by Allah, I have also, Allah has been so kind to me that He's shown me what happens also. The absolute lack of any happiness in those homes. Rather, the home completely broken, that you would be wanting to just get a nice, quiet corner in the masjid and sleep with your sleeping bag. You would feel more content than having a lake-facing mansion or a mountain-facing mansion with every amenity you can imagine inside the house. But there's no sukoon, there's no peace of mind because of whatever reason's going on. Subhanallah. If wealth and luxury were to be a means of bringing happiness, then that's what would happen. People would never be looking towards elsewhere. They would not be looking towards intoxicants. They would not be looking towards other things to be able to give them the peace of mind. Subhanallah, it's so true. A person must visit, a person must see. My Ustad Mawlana Abbas Damat Barakatum, he would say, mansion mein hai tension. Mansion mein hai tension. And then he would say, another Ustad of mine, Sheikh Ramzi Al Habib, Hafidhullah, both of these very blessed teachers of mine. Another one would say, he was an Arab, he would say, Alham fi dirham, wa nar fi dinar. Okay, alham means hammun wa ghammun. Ham means some stress, worry, concern. Ham, the Arabic loves it, means fikr, concern. Where is it? Fi dirham. Loves it, dirham. Silver coin mein kya hai bhai? dirham. In the word dirham, dirham means silver coin. In the word dirham, there's part of the word is also, dirham is one word, but there is another separate word called ham. Ham means worry. And so that's part of the structure of the word for silver coins. And then you would say, وَالنَّارُ فِي dinar. Nar is fire. And the word dinar is gold coin. Fire and gold coin. Meaning, if a person does not spend their wealth properly and does not earn their wealth properly, then silver and gold will only bring worry and concern in this world and fire in the hereafter. Isn't that powerful? Alhammu fi dirham wa naru fi dinar. That is, of course, if it's not used properly, that's what will happen. That these two things will cause immense problem to a person. So we should not confuse samani rahat with rahat. When we look, someone has got the means of happiness, the means of comfort, we should not confuse it as that they are leading a comfortable life, is what I'm saying, or what he's saying. If a person understands that, we will seriously spend our life differently. Seriously, we will spend our life differently. There are people who can fall asleep in economy class, and there are people who can fall asleep in business class. So, you know, it happens. What happened? All the saman and the method of giving you comfort is present. But if your mind and heart is not at peace, you could be in business, you could be in first, you could be in your private jet also. You're not going to have a peace. You're not going to be able to fall asleep. Or you're not going to be able to rest. And the flip side of it, if a person is on a very basic economy class ticket, but he's tired, and subhanAllah, he's not worried about this and that, he may be able to fall asleep. That's something just to think about. So, what we see right now is that the more effort a person makes towards the gaining of these material things, the desire comes that I need to do a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. That's why they say that a person can adjust the height of the bed, can choose the type of bed, can choose the firmness and the softness of the bed, and all these things. But you cannot purchase the sleep. You can purchase every means of trying to bring sleep, but sleep, you can't purchase it. Then people take assistant of tablets and all sorts of other things, which is very common today. So it's mentioned that there was a king who was unable to sleep. And that for that, he was very perturbed, that how can I not fall asleep? He had owned everything of the best, but could not sleep. On the footpath of the king's castle, there was a person walking by. He sat down. He opened up his huge turban. He had a big turban. He opened it up from his head, took off his turban on this footpath. And inside the turban, there was two rotis, two pieces of bread. He ate these two pieces of roti, dry, drank some water, took his turban, in which was used as a lunchbox, placed it under his head, and he promptly fell asleep, snoring away. Right? The king, on seeing this, remarked, "I am prepared to part with my whole kingdom in exchange for a short while of such peaceful sleep." If you've ever suffered insomnia, may Allah grant all who suffer insomnia shifa kamil ajil. It's horrible. SubhanAllah. I mean it. We should make dua. We never even think that this is what a musibah this is. And I didn't realize how painful this is until a couple times in my life. For some reason or the other, I just somehow just couldn't fall asleep. And I was thinking that, Allahu Akbar, this is just one night for me. How do people live like this? You can't. You crash. Everything falls apart. So the ni'mah of sleep itself, we don't value it to be able to fall asleep for those who don't suffer from this. Actually, and those who suffer insomnia, they usually fall asleep during the day, possibly. Or they take medication. But imagine someone who can't sleep in the day and the night. You will go literally berserk, crazy. You'll have to go to the mental hospital if you stay awake that many days. Ni'mah of sleep is something we should make shukr of every night, that I'm able to fall asleep. SubhanAllah. Those who are in pain, may Allah grant shifa. SubhanAllah. To one of our students, has been going through a lot of, difficulty. And I would like you to please make a specific dua. But he mentioned today, he says that today was the first day. After like 3 weeks, I was able to sleep without waking up every 2 minutes. Right? He's gotten so many surgeries, so many long stays in the hospital. نَسَأَلُ اللَّهَ الْعَظِيمَ رَبَّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمَ أَنْ يَشْفِيَهُ. حُذَيْفَة his name is. نَسَأَلُ اللَّهَ الْعَظِيمَ رَبَّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمَ أَنْ يَشْفِيَهُ. Say amin. نَسَأَلُ اللَّهَ الْعَظِيمَ رَبَّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمَ أَنْ يَشْفِيَهُ. 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 لَا بَأْسَ طُهُورٌ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ. لَا بَأْسَ طُهُورٌ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ. لَا بَأْسَ طُهُورٌ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ. أَذْهِبِ الْبَأْسَ رَبَّ النَّاسِ. لَا شِفَاءَ إِلَّا شِفَاءُكَ شِفَاءً لَا يُقَادِرُ سَقَمًا. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلق محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. So these are the blessings that a person needs to constantly be reminding himself of. That I need to make shukr for all this that I have. He says an example, Maulana Abdul Hamid Saab mentions, a person is standing at a train station and he watches a train pass by him. He sees a person sitting in the first class compartment. Before him, all the delicacies and a host of delicious foods have been laid out. There is an air conditioner as well as other items of comfort in the room. It seems that this person is in great comfort. The train passes by and the sight of this person is lost. A little while later, the third class compartment, you know how they have multiple first class, second class, third class in the trains overseas. A third class compartment passes by. This coach is packed to the brim. All the people who can't afford the first, second, they're here. There's no place even to sit properly. The people are standing. If a window is open, it can never close. If it's closed, it can never be open because you can't even reach the window. It's just sardined with people. There he sees a man standing in coach, carrying heavy parcels, luggage, and he's sweating. Outwardly, this man is in great difficulty. He can't breathe. He can't move around. He's carrying luggage. He's carrying things for his wife and his kids. And he's sweating in the heat of this train. When the person investigated more closely, he finds out that the person in the first class compartment, Allahu Akbar, is on his way to where? To his death row. The government fulfills the final desire of all the inmates on their way to the gallows. On their way to the gallows, right? And that's how it is. Whether it's in America or in Pakistan, people have their last wish granted. So he decided that I want to go to the gallows in what? In a first class train compartment. That's where he has headed. As he moves closer to the gallows, station by station, his anxiety and apprehension increases. Outwardly, it seems that he's in great enjoyment, but his heart is completely uneasy. As for the person in the third class compartment, he had worked for 1 month in the city, and now he is returning home to the village, carrying with him groceries as well as gifts for his family members. And as he passes by each station, his joy and happiness increases as he waits in anticipation to meet his wife and his children. Outwardly, he seems to be in difficulty, but in reality, he's experiencing great joy. A person must therefore never be deceived by the outward appearances. Today also, if a person becomes close to the wealthy people and finds out their internal affairs, he will find out how unhappy and uneasy they are. Subhanallah. What an ajeeb example he gave. That it's not about the situation you're in, it's about where you're headed. So for a disbeliever, no matter how much dunya he has, if he's headed towards destruction of hellfire, he might not even realize it. What's the point? You'd rather be walking, not even be on a train, going to your family or going to Jannah, than being in a first class going towards destruction. Thereafter, Imam Bukhari mentions the following verses to prove what he mentioned. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, أَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّ مَا نُمِدُّهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ مَالٍ وَبَنِينَ نُسَارِعُ لَهُمْ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ بَلْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Do the disbelievers think that by us granting them an increase in wealth and sons, that we wish to hasten in granting them good? Do they think that by us giving them dunya and money and kids and boys, that mashallah have 5 boys, 4 boys, and have lots of money, do they think that we're actually happy and pleased with them? That's why we're giving this to them? Allah Azza wa Jalla says, بَلْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. They fail to perceive. What do they fail to perceive? That an increase in material possessions does not mean that we are pleased with them. We are merely granting them time to involve themselves in more sin so that they become deserving of more punishment. We're waiting for them to get indulged in more sin so that they can become more worthy of higher and bigger punishments. You give the example of a piece of cheese that's placed in a bait for a mouse or whatnot. The house owner, homeowner, that he puts the cheese and the peanut butter in the bait, he's not doing it out of Ramadan kindness to all the mice in my home. Nabi ﷺ was very generous. Let me take some iftari and put it there for the mice. He's using that as a bait to get him in and to get rid of his house of all these mice. So similarly, the disbeliever or a fasiq who is not close to Allah, who is involved in sin, his dunya is that bait. That it's not being given to him out of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's happiness. It has been given to him to bring him to his destruction.
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ.
Verily those who are fearful of their sustainer, those who believe in the signs of the sustainer,
وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِرَبِّهِمْ لَا يُشْرِكُونَ,
and those who do not ascribe partners to the sustainer are steadfast, يعني in tawheed. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla continues,
وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ.
And those who spend of those resources that we have been granted, yani we have granted, yani Allah has granted them, and whose hearts tremble with fear because they have to return to the sustainer when it will be known whether their deeds are accepted or not. They're giving money, they keep on giving, but while they're giving, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَ. Their hearts are trembling because they don't know if what I gave is going to be regarded as accepted or not. Think about those who don't give and they feel so relaxed. That's not an attribute of iman. Attribute of iman is that you give both sadaqah, zakat, everything. But while we're giving, our hearts are trembling, are afraid that what if this is not going to be accepted, and Allah forbid it be flung back on my face, what shall I do?
أُولَٰئِكَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَهُمْ لَهَا سَابِقُونَ.
Allah Azza wa Jalla says, these people hasten to perform good acts and are the foremost in it, in the race to good. And doing good acts is not difficult for people because
وَلَا يُكَلِّفُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسَعَهَا وَلَدَيْنَا كِتَابٌ يَنْطِقُ بِالْحَقِّ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ.
Allah does not place on his soul a responsibility except that which is in its capability. So this is till the end. Another few ayats is mentioned in here. Translates this over here. Having these bounties does not mean that a person will live in a happy life. Never regard these outward bounties as true wealth. The true wealth is the inner wealth which is found in the heart. For example, a person has immense amount of wealth. He is retired and his children have taken control of his business. Still too, he goes to work. He stands at the door like a beggar, calls out, "Come, come, come inside. Very cheap, buy these goods, they're on sale." Alright? This person, subhanAllah, is like a beggar. Allah Azza wa Jal gave him so much wealth and his business is huge. But now he feels that I have to miss my prayers and I have to spend the time directing people and inviting people to come into the store, when you already have more than you can chew, more than you can bite, more than you can eat and consume. He does not need to flatter to people to buy his goods and disgrace himself. He may come to the masjid early, perform his salah comfortably, and have enough time to spend with his family and his wife and his kids. This is what you call actual wealth. Your person is content. Oh, may Allah grant us this. Allahumma ameen. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the qualities of the believers. He said, verily those who are fearful of their sustainer, those who believe in the signs of the sustainer, those who do not ascribe partners to the sustainer, those who have been spent of what they have been granted while their hearts tremble because they have to return to the sustainer, these people hasten to perform good acts and are foremost in it. Allah does not place on a soul a responsibility except what is written in its capability. We have by us a book that speaks the truth and that they will not be oppressed. However, their hearts are in ignorance about this, and they have other acts that they will carry out besides this. Meaning, these, if we want to be a true Muslim and a mu'min,
These are the qualities we have to have, and these are some of the end the qualities we have to stay away from. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَلَهُمْ أَعْمَالٌ مِّن دُونِ ذَلِكَ. And they have other acts that they will carry out besides this. Sufyan ibn Uyayna says, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they have other acts besides this, it means they will definitely carry out these acts. Why? Because it has been ordained. And this is what we call taqdeer. This is what we call predestiny. Right? This has been called predestiny. Let's read a little bit what Mawlana says. The details of taqdeer will be studied later on in other, you know, he says in Kitab al-Iman, etc. In Bukhari, Imam Bukhari mentions the details of that. However, what we need to understand is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not force any person to disbelieve, to kill, or to commit adultery. No one is forced to do these actions. For example, a father tells his son, go to the city tomorrow and do this work for me. Thereafter, the father tells the mother, I have commanded our son to go to the city to do certain works, but I'm sure he will go. He will not go there. He will go somewhere else. He will not listen to me. Happens? Have you heard this before? Conversation? Yeah? The father knows his son very well. The following day, the son goes exactly against the dad. He told him to go to the city. He ends up going somewhere else. Now we'll say that the father is not at fault. He cannot say, see, you told me that I'm not, you told my mom that I'm not going to go and do the work, that's why I didn't do it. You can't say that. Instead, we'll say that the father knew, based on the experience he has with the son, that this is his weakness. That's why he said it. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. So we say the ulama give this example, taqriban ila al-afhami wal adhani, to just kind of bring this topic a little bit closer to the minds. Is that Allah Azza wa Jal has the most knowledge. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this shall happen, we will not say Allah is forcing it. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is basically telling us that based on what you usually do, this will happen. Does Allah know it? Of course. For a mind, we cannot blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this was written in it. Just like we cannot blame the father to say, no, you told mother I'm going to go that side. I didn't hear about it, but I just figured. That's why I did it. It is our own individual responsibility to do our actions. The second question may arise that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that I'm going to be doing this, why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stop me? Why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stop me? And the answer for that is, Allah Azza wa Jal gave us free will, and that is where the ajr comes in. If a person were to be forced into what he's doing, then what's the point of the ajr? Allah Jalla Jalla, for example, says, وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ مَا فَعَلُوهُ. If Allah will, they wouldn't do what they're doing right now, these acts of sins. فَذَرُهُمْ, leave them. وَمَا يَفْتَرُونَ, whatever they're concocting. So, the idea of free will is necessary for us to be able to gain the ajr in akhirah. And that's why we have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, well, is not forcing a person to do those decisions, but rather is given just an ability. There's a famous saying that, rozi baqadre muqaddar, hidayat baqadre mashaqqat. That sustenance is in accordance to the taqdeer, and guidance is according to the effort. What this means is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives dunya to whoever He likes and whoever He doesn't like. Whoever's working super hard and whoever's not working hard at all. You'll see sometimes a person who doesn't, like a person born in a wealthy family. He didn't work hard at all and he gets it. Another person is working, just closed doors, close, again. Stuff suffering. Every day, every week is worse than the previous one. So Allah gives whoever He wishes, whether they're doing things or not, to gain that wealth. But hidayah Allah Azza wa Jal will not give unless a person is actually making an effort for it. And if a person is sincere and makes effort, then Allah Jalla Jalaluhu will definitely grant him hidayah. A person who is content with whatever Allah has written
and destined for him, he is the one who is a truly wealthy person. One of the awliya, Allah has mentioned, mutmain baithe hain ya rab, tu hakeem bhi hai, hakim bhi hai. We sit comfortably, O my sustainer, since you are the wise as well as the absolute ruler. Small problems, big problems, 100% are in your hands. My small issues, no one can take care besides you, and the one who I have to face on the day of judgment is also yourself. Alaysa Allahu bi ahkamil hakimin. Allah is the absolute ruler of all those who pass judgments. Ibrahim a.s. is flung into the fire. Jibreel a.s. and Mika a.s. came forward to offer their assistance. Ibrahim a.s. refused to take their help, saying, doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know my condition? Why should I then worry about it? You say, no, I'm here to doze out the fire. I'm here to extinguish the fire. I'm here to pull it out. He's telling the prophets that absolutely not. Jazakallah. Then he says, doesn't Allah know my condition? Why should I then worry? Why should I turn to you for help when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already knows my condition? That is why, my beloved friends, whatever wealth we're looking for, it will not come through material things. And whatever wealth we're looking for will not even come through just sitting back and waiting things to happen. We have to make effort ourselves. We have to make effort ourselves. It is not sufficient to pay the way for somebody else's ibadat, someone else's umrah and hajj, etc. A person has to do that, and along with that has to do their own individual ibadah as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you and I from amongst the dhakirin and amongst those who recite the Quran abundantly in Ramadan and outside of Ramadan. Say ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us, Allahu Akbar, to make the most of these moments and these days with dhikr and with dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from neglecting any aspect of it. Allahumma ameen. We can inshallah proceed downstairs with iftar, and we'll have dhikr and dua, you know, 10 minutes now. Inshallah, we can do some dhikr, silent dhikr, or out loud dhikr, whatever you're comfortable with. And then please join us for the dua after that.